Hello, everyone. I'm Eric D'Souza, and joining me today on Crime Matters of Canada's podcast is M.H. Calloway. Hi, Madeline. How are you today?
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm good, too. So we are continuing our series of interviewing Crime Writers of Canada members who have been nominated for an award of excellence. Madeline has been nominated for an award for Best Crime Short Story for her story, Wisteria Cottage, which was published in the anthology Malice Domestic. A little bit about Madeline is she's a crime fiction, or her crime fiction has won or been shortlisted for several leading awards, including Crime Writers of Canada's Award of Excellence, The Debut Dagger, and The Derringer. Her thriller, Windigo Fire, was a finalist for the CWC's Best First Novel Award. In 2013, she and Donna Carrick of Carrick Publishing co-founded the Madame and now Messieurs of Mayhem, a collective of established Canadian crime writers. They are the subject of a critically acclaimed CBC documentary, The Madame of Mayhem, which you can view on CBC Gems or on YouTube. I'll actually save you some time and I'll put a link to that documentary in the notes to this podcast or video. Also, Madeline and I have chatted before, so I will also include those interviews in our notes. So let's today talk about Wisteria Cottage. It has a very interesting premise. You sent me the beginning of it, and there's a lot going on. So could you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the story is that my heroine, Allison, has recently lost her husband, and she moves in with her eccentric sister-in-law, Verna. And Verna lives in a low limestone cottage, which is thinly disguised Kingston, Ontario. And she likes to spy on her neighbor. And Allison soon begins to suspect that Verna does a little bit more about eliminating the annoyances of her life, and particularly her garden plants.
That's saying a lot and little at the same time. Good story, short storytelling. From what you told me, and even from that, I can tell there's a lot going on. It's almost like if I asked you for a plot of a novel, you could say it was that. But what you have to do in 8,000 words, what a novelist would do in 80,000 words. So I'm wondering if there's like a secret sauce or a key to writing a good short story that's layered.
Well, I think a lot of it is that you create another world. One of the thing about writing short fiction is that you can create many different worlds. And I think that's what attracted me to short fiction in the first place. I draw on a lot of my own life experiences for the short stories, and not the murders though. You know? But I get inspired a lot by settings, which I did for Wisteria Cottage. And the setting is really my friend Barbara's bed and breakfast, or former bed and breakfast in Kingston, which was called the Stone's Throw, does not exist anymore. But I think too, it forces you to be concise, a short story, that you have to weigh every single word. I went to a seminar by Walter Mosley once many, many years ago, and Walter Mosley started out as a poet. In fact, many of the crime fiction writers, the really leading ones like Peter Robinson and Rosemary Aubert, started their literary journey as poets. And so they weigh every single word. And one of the things Walter Mosley said about, like, every element that you introduce into a short story has to have significance to the plot and to the ending. And I try to bear those things in mind when I do my work.
A lot of what you said in ways reminds me of interviews I've seen with Alice Munro, who unfortunately recently passed away, and perhaps the queen of short stories. She's definitely rewarded for it, for what she's done in her beautiful career. Did her style of writing influence you in any way?
It definitely did. I was a huge fan of Alice Munro. Being a scientist, I didn't really read what I would call good books. I read a lot of genre fiction mostly. But my mother-in-law introduced me to Alice Munro, and I absolutely adored all her stories. They speak, I think they speak to readers and to people on a very human level. When I read her stories, I always felt, well, this should be a novel. This should really be a novel. Now, her stories are quite long. They're not really, they're not like 3,000 or 4,000 words. They're quite long, lengthy. But she does build in such complexity and interest, and her characters are so different and human at the same time that, yeah, I would count her as one of my stronger influences, definitely.
You were telling me, or you teased me a little bit before we hit record, that you had an Alice Munro story. So could you tell us it?
Well, Alice Munro, actually, her hometown is Clinton, Ontario, which is right next to Goderich, Ontario, where we have our cottage, our family cottage. And, well, it's a bit of a backwater. I mean, Huron County is a total backwater, especially Goderich area. Nobody comes there. There's Kincardine, and there's Grand Bend, and then there's Goderich in the middle, and everybody is forgotten about, which is great. So to have a Nobel Prize winner from our part of the world is, like, totally awesome. But and many years ago, I did actually meet Alice Munro. I went with a friend who is a literary writer, and we went to hear her read, and it was marvelous. And at the end, we could go up and get our book signed and say hello. Now, it was one story that she wrote about people dredging rocks out of the harbor, and that had happened in Goderich. And my father-in-law at the time was obsessed with this, and the size of the rocks and the size of the hydraulic pump and blah, blah, blah. And I could have sworn that she put my father-in-law in this story. And I just had to ask her. I said, my father-in-law, we'd go down to the harbor and watch them dredging. Did you ever meet this Englishman about 6 feet tall? And she said, no, actually, the man in the story is my husband. He was obsessed with it, too. And she said, I think it's a guy thing. And we had a big laugh over that. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady.
Maybe they knew each other. Husband and father-in-law. They watched it be dredged together.
Talking about the dredging of the harbor. But the other things that she incorporated from the setting in Goderich, there's a place that used to, that's just sort of closing now, but for many years a barn they used to sell used furniture. And that figures in some of her stories, like the used furniture on the highway. And I know exactly where that is. The Blythe Festival did a play about her early life as a writer, and that she wrote about sex, which is terrible, and she got into a lot of trouble over it. So that was what the play was about. It's very interesting.
Oh, that sounds fun. We weren't going to talk about it, but it's good to hear that the Bonnie Blythe is coming back this year.
Yes, I'm very happy that is, and it's always fun for us to get together in the real world, like writers. You know, Zoom is great, but the real world is even better, you know.
It's true. And in fact, the Malice Domestic is another festival. I think I read it's from Maryland. And annually they put out an anthology, which is what published this short story of yours. You've been published in several short stories, or in several anthologies. And I'm seeing more and more anthologies being printed, which is fantastic. Including many from Canada, from like Superior Shores, and Madame de Mayhem, several other people. But do you feel there's more anthologies coming out? Does that mean that there's more of an appetite for short stories too?
Well, I think definitely that people have discovered that anthologies are a very good way for us to get our short stories into the hands of readers. Marketing anthologies can be a little bit challenging. They're often do very well when you link them up with a conference or through libraries, actually, too. It's a good outlet for them. Yes, I definitely think so. I think people, if people join the Short Mystery Fiction Society in the United States, of course, which is a much bigger population than we have in Canada, there are dozens of anthologies that come out with very different themes. They have themes of music, you know, the Beatles songs, or they have something, I think it was they tried Barry Manilow, but that didn't work. Anyway, not dark enough, I guess. But actually, the Antony Awards now has a category for best anthology, which I'm really happy to see, and that it's actually being recognized more as a really good venue for short fiction writers.
Yeah, I agree. It's great that there's more and more of them coming out, and we get to read more short stories that way. Well, let's talk about another one that's coming out in the near future, The 13th Letter, by the Madame and now Messieurs of Mayhem. This is, I think, fourth or fifth anthology they've put out, at least. I actually didn't know this, but you're a founding member of that group. So could you tell us a little bit about the Madame and Monsieur of Mayhem, but also the 13th Letter?
Oh, I'd be delighted to hear. Yeah, actually, well, Don and I founded the Madame of Mayhem back in 2013 to deal with social media. And it was such a new beast, and we didn't know how do we promote ourselves, how do we use this. And we thought the best way to do it was to pool our knowledge. Donna is much more technical than I am. So she designed our first website. And I, you know, came from the business background, so the marketing and the management level, so that we thought we pool our resources together. We'll make a sense of this. So we both belong to two writing groups. So we've basically merged our two writing groups together. And the rest is history. We just, to our enormous surprise, it kept growing. One of the things I'll let you in on a little management consulting secret is to have a superordinate goal, what they call it. So I thought it would be great for us because we were so disparate in all our writing. We write, Melody Campbell writes like hilarious comedy. And I tend to be on the dark side, you know, I'm sort of on the noir side. So we were such a spectrum. We thought, well, if we put together an anthology, readers can read it and see if they like our writing style. And if they like our writing style, they can go and explore our other work. So it was going to be this buffet. So we put together our first anthology, 13, and it was a hit. And we got nominations with stories in there. And so we did another. And then another and another. And eventually, our group kept growing, and we're now a national organization. We have members in Western Canada, and we even let in a few men. So we're now the Madame and Monsieur of Mayhem. We're an eclectic group. We're all ages and a lot of different talents. We have a young filmmaker who is part of our group who's taken up crime writing. And it's worked out. This is number six that's coming out.
Number six, fantastic.
Yeah, it's called The 13th Letter, and M is the 13th letter. And that is Donna Carrick. I take no responsibility or claim any creativity in this. It's totally Donna's idea. I think it's brilliant. And because M can stand for anything, and it can be mayhem, and murder, of course. When we do put together our anthologies, we try to purposely keep the theme broad so that give everybody room to be as creative as possible. And because we're all such disparate writers.
You usually use a 13 as a theme.
Yeah.
I think that's because was that the founding members? There was 13 of you originally?
Exactly right. It was a kind of a... It wasn't that creative. And so we thought, well, you know, it's sinister, so why not use it? And then it just stuck and it became our lucky number. So it's 13 o'clock because it was time was the second book. 13 Claws, which is animals, which is one that Jane Burfield and I had planned to write many, many years ago with Carol Souls and never came off. So he said, let's do animals. So we have anything there from dragons to mice. And then we have In the Key of 13, which is music. And then we did one on the supernatural, which is In the Spirit of 13.
And do you know offhand when the 13th letter comes out? I think we have to wait a bit of time.
We have to wait a bit. It's going to be, we normally bring out our anthologies in the fall. And it seems to be a good time because that's when people are settling down to read in the cold winters, the not so cold winters as we had here in Toronto this year. And
it's also when people are doing their Christmas shopping.
And people do their Christmas shopping. Exactly right. And we always, we traditionally have our launch at the Sleuther Baker Street bookstore here in Toronto. And we're hoping that they're going to host us again this fall.
I'm sure they will. All right. It was a pleasure talking to you, Madeline. I actually enjoyed this one quite a bit. I didn't know what to talk about because there was so much to talk about with you. So I'm glad we were able to squeeze it in.
It's always a pleasure, Eric. Thank you so much.